meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And here we go on a Tuesday in beautiful Brevard County, Florida. And we want to thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM today. You are tuned in to the Refresh radio program. You've got a few opportunities to listen to us today. 8:30 of a morning, 5 o'clock of an evening right here on 91.5 FM. 10:30 of a morning, you can find us at 1510 AM. And there's some corresponding frequencies throughout the county on the FM dial. I believe that the 1510 AM broadcast goes over. So wherever you might get the strongest signal, that's where I would listen. Now, I'll also give you a little bit of an insight into what I do. You can also log into WMIEFM.com. You can do that on your smartphone, and it's got a listen live feature on there. And so some of the time when I'm driving, I end up driving out of the broadcast area. And if I can't find it on the TuneIn app, I can log in there, and I can, my phone has a media connection on the car, and I can listen to it. And I'll tell you, sometimes the signal in the car is better than the static that would come from just being on the edge of the broadcast power. So an extra way that you could listen to the Refresh radio program or any of the other fine programming here on WMIE. Do want to invite you out to our Father's Day celebration this coming week. If your father is still alive, make sure that you take some time, wish him a happy Father's Day, and then go out. If you are a father, go out and be the best father that you can be. Learn as much about being a father from Jesus as you can. I've realized that there are a lot of men in our society that are now into adulthood, but they never had a father figure that taught them how to be a father. And let me tell you, learning on the fly is not the easiest or the best way to become a father. There is an instruction manual. It's called the Word of God. There is a role model. His name is the Heavenly Father. And you need to surround yourself. If you are at church and there are kids in the church that do not have role models, do not, please for the love of all that is good, would you please step up and say, as a men's ministry, hey, we're going to provide some mentoring and some compassion and some understanding, and help raise up some of the fatherless young men in our community with a living spiritual father. May not be the biological father. That's okay. You know, there's a need for spiritual fathers here in 2022, and the church will be greatly blessed by that. Maybe we'd have a few more young people that are continuing in the faith if they had men who were showing them, demonstrating to them what it looks like to be in love with Jesus. So we're going to go back to Luke chapter 12. We'll continue reading in verse number 41 to set up the context, and then we will go on down. We ended at verse number 46 on yesterday. It says, "As the Lord, then Peter said to him, 'Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people?' And the Lord said, 'Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, My master is delaying his coming and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and be drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him and in an hour when he is not aware and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required, and to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. So yesterday we were talking about the bad choices that this steward made because he thought that the master wasn't coming back for a while. He began to abuse the other servants, began to behave in a manner that the master would not have behaved in, nor would the master approve of. And as a result of those two things, he got to a place where he was not anticipating, he wasn't expecting the master to return, and he wasn't aware when the return of the master was imminent. Let me say this, and that is that we are closer to the return of Jesus than we have ever been before. That is just a fact from a logical standpoint. Never have the prophecies that are mentioned in the Word of God been closer to fulfillment than they are right now. There are some prophecies that would have been difficult to comprehend how they were going to be fulfilled 1,000 years ago, 500 years ago, 200 years ago. But with all of the technological gains, now we see that would be very easy to achieve in 2022. I'm telling you, God's not speculating about what the end times are going to be like. He's telling us in advance what the end times are going to be like so that we can be prepared for them. And so the person who behaves in a foolish manner will have his lot, his appointment will be with the unbelievers. Make no mistake about it, when you read the Word of God, that there is a distinction in how believers in the Lord Jesus Christ will spend eternity and how unbelievers will spend eternity. Vast difference. There are a lot of people, and they want to make people feel good, and they think, well, it doesn't really matter how you live, everybody's going to heaven. If that's true, then the cross of Jesus was unnecessary, and the fact that Jesus was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world was completely unnecessary and illogical. But I'm here to tell you, not everybody is. And the people that propagate that stuff really don't believe that. Okay, ask them this question. So do you think Hitler's in heaven? Do you think the people that go and shoot up schools, do you think they're going to heaven? The people who are mass murderers, serial killers, serial rapists, do you think they're going? And you just have to ask a few questions. And it won't be long and they'll say, well, no, I don't believe they're going. I believe they're evil. Well, by what standard are you making that assessment? Are you making that assessment by the Word of God, or are you establishing your own standard with you being the arbiter of eternity rather than Jesus? The Bible says that in the last days, people would set aside the righteous requirements of God and establish their own righteous standards. They would set up their own standards and think that their standards were better than God's, and it only leads to greater confusion and greater chaos. God's not the author of confusion. He's the author of order. So, verse number 47 continues with a few more things that this servant knew, but he didn't follow up on. The first thing is that he knew his master's will. He knew what God wanted. Okay? So in the parable of the talents, where there is 1, 5, and 10 that are given, I came to the understanding years ago that the master was not going to entrust his resources to a novice. He had people in various stages of development where he was teaching them how to operate his business, how to do things the way that he wanted them done. And so the guy who was entrusted with 10 probably didn't start out being entrusted with 10. He probably got started out entrusted with 1. The guy with 5, the same way. The guy with 1 was just beginning, but he would have already demonstrated the potential and the faithfulness that the master said, you know what, I can entrust this to you. And his problem wasn't that he didn't have the training. His problem was his laziness and his fear of failure. Too many saints are buying into the devil's lie. Well, why don't you pray for that person? Well, I'm afraid if I pray for them that they won't get healed. Pray for them anyway. Why don't you tell that person your testimony about what Jesus has done in your life? Well, they might not believe me. Tell them anyway. They might believe you. You know, our speaker that we had, Malcolm Burley, he was a treasure in the kingdom of God that was saved in the streets of one of America's largest cities. And what if somebody had said, oh, there's no hope for him? But there was. And there was great treasure there. So I want to encourage you that God has a will for your life. He has a plan for your life. And you need to know his will so that you can do his will. Knowing his will is not the end. Knowing the will is the launch pad for performing the will of God. The next thing here that it says is very interesting. And it says, and that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself. And did not prepare himself. So just about all of my kids, and it may be all of them at this point in time, they grew up in my household, and at one point in time, they were all rushing around at the last minute and trying to race to get where they were supposed to be just in the nick of time. Well, that's not the way that I operate. And so when I get to church, I'm there to prepare myself. I've also got to prepare the building, prepare the doors. I prepare the sound system and all of that. So that when people get there, everything runs. I know that a lot of people think you just snap your fingers and everything happens just gloriously and amazingly. That's not the case. That's not the case. There is preparation that goes on. There used to be people that thought, well, you don't need to prepare yourself for what you're preaching. You just need to depend upon the Holy Spirit to give you the words. Well, again, that sounds good until you read the Bible and you find that God is the God of preparation. The very first December of the Refresh radio program, God took this radio program on an entire month of studying the various things he has prepared. He's prepared good works for you to do from before the foundation of the world. But you have to prepare yourself. If we have a work day at the church, there's preparation that needs to go on. There's materials that need to be provided. There needs to be food, water, make sure that people are taken care of. There are all sorts of preparations that need to go on. If we have a men's breakfast, there is hours of preparation that go on before that, in between buying the groceries and having that. For the ladies meeting, I can tell you my wife goes through weeks of preparation in order to make a Women of Worth meeting. That's what our women's ministry is called, Women of Worth, to make that an impactful moment in ladies' lives. A few years ago, I had two daughters that got married in the space of about 15 months, something like that, maybe 16 months. And trust me, they had been preparing for that moment all their lives. But the last year before the wedding, before both of the weddings, there was intense preparations. At one point in time, I knew that my wife was going into wedding preparation mode, and I said, I will see you in April. I knew I wasn't off the hook for preparation. I was just saying, I know the season that you're in. You're in the preparation season. You need to be right now knowing what God's will is for your life and preparing yourself. The most impactful question anyone ever asked me in my academic life was when I was a senior in high school. I was interviewing for a scholarship, and someone said, what are you doing now to prepare yourself to be a pastor in the future? And I became a bumbling idiot during that interview, and I said, that's the last time. And I left that meeting, and I got something more valuable than a scholarship. I got motivation to prepare myself for what God was going to have for me to do. A lot of people think, oh, well, I don't have to prepare, I just have to show up. I don't have to practice, I just got to perform. That's not the case at all. Every professional athlete has coaches. Golfers have putting coaches. Golfers have mental coaches. Golfers have swing coaches. Every aspect of the game, they've got a management team around them, and they are preparing to succeed. And it says, they knew his master's will, did not prepare himself or do according to his will. Okay? You do not want to be disobedient to God. If it's the will of God, let's do the will of God. I want the perfect will of God. And some of that means I've got to prepare myself so that I can do that. It says the person who knows, doesn't prepare, and doesn't do will be punished. And the punishment will be in accordance. What it goes on to say here in verse number 48 and 47 is the punishment we will experience is in proportion to the knowledge that we have. And we didn't act in obedience. And so if you knew a bunch and didn't do a bunch, then you are going to be disciplined a bunch. Now, it goes on and it says that if there is someone who did not know the things, who did not know the will of God, committed things that God was not pleased with, that he would be disciplined to a lesser extent. Now, I'm just going to tell you, I learned very early in my life that I did not like to be disciplined for disobedience, a little bit or a lot. It didn't matter. I didn't like it. And so I grew up being the compliant child, doing the best that I could to meet all of the expectations that my parents had of me, because I didn't want the correction. I didn't want the pain of the correction. And so I brought that over into the kingdom of God. There's only one person that I have more value in not disappointing than when I was a kid with my parents, and that is I don't want to disappoint God. I don't want to disappoint God, and so I treat my parents the way that he wants me to treat them. My dad, my mother passed away. Because I don't want to disappoint God, I treat my wife the way that God wants me to treat my wife. because I don't want to disappoint God, I treat my kids and my grandkids the way that God would treat my grandkids and my kids. Because I don't want to disappoint God, I conduct myself in a manner that I don't want to be a disappointment to my church, and I don't want to be a disappointment to the people who listen to this radio program, all because I don't want to disappoint God. Now, one of the things, it is a distorted view that the enemy tries to get people to believe, and it says this, well, you are better off uninformed than you are informed then, because you don't want to be disciplined to a major degree, so you should just keep yourself uninformed. That way you don't experience the greater punishment. Now, let me ask you, if you were lining up on a football field and the opponent over there was saying, you really don't want to block me. If you block me, you might get hurt, and you don't really want to get hurt. So why don't you just let me just run right on by you, and I'm going to sack your quarterback, and you know, you might get in trouble for missing a block, but it won't be too bad. You would say, well, no, that's crazy. Why would we believe the devil's lie that we should not know as much about the things of God as possible and go about doing that? You know, I keep going back to this one verse. It's in the book of Daniel. The people that know their God shall do great exploits. They shall have great success. They shall have great victories. Guess who those victories are over? They're victories over the kingdom of darkness. But it all comes back to knowing what God wants you to do and doing it. We've got a few minutes left here. It says, for everyone, that means it's you, that means it's me, for everyone to whom much is given, much is required. To whom much is given, much will be required. There are two definitions of sin that I'd like to talk about. There are the sins of commission. And that is, there's something that you're not supposed to do, and you do it. There are a lot of sins that fall into that category. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. All of those, you know, and let's not talk about, or we should probably talk about, you know, honoring the Lord on his day, honoring the Sabbath, not having any gods before him, about all of those things, no graven images, and people commit those sins. They miss the mark of what God wanted because they do things that God told them not to do. There are also sins of omission, and that can best be summed up like this: to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Okay? I've heard it said about certain athletes, I watched a video clip one time of this one quarterback. He's not my favorite quarterback. He was too much of a hothead for me, but he would study film. He would prepare himself for his opponent extensively. Very, very talented, had a long career. And it said that he went up to, in this video clip, he goes up to the line and he looks at the formation that the enemy or that the opponent was in, and he starts speaking to one of the defenders and he says, dude, you're in the wrong position. Now, he wasn't saying that because he was going to exploit the position where the opponent was. He had studied the film so much that he knew that the guy had made the mistake. And so afterwards they asked that defender about it and they said, yeah, he was right. I was out of position. And that can set you up for a devastating defeat. So, to whom, for everyone, for you, for me, for the pastor, for the Sunday school teacher, for the person that is just coming along, whatever we are given, whatever we are entrusted with, whether it is authority, whether it's knowledge from the Word of God, knowing how to do what we're supposed to do, knowing the will of God, knowing how we're supposed to love and care for people, if we don't do it, much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. Every church operates with a very small, a way too small percentage of people actively doing the work of the ministry. Typically, it's about 15 to 20%. Doesn't matter if it's a small church, medium church, large church, mega church. About 15 to 20% of the congregation does all of the work. You know what that does? It makes for some very tired saints, because 100% of the saints are supposed to be involved in the ministry. Okay? A person made this statement to me many years ago, getting close to 20 years ago, and he made this statement: if you are a person in authority and you need something done, don't ask the person with all the time in the world at their hands, because they will find an excuse of why it can't be done. He said it shouldn't be that way, but it is. He said the person you want to find is the person that is already overachieving, and if you give them another assignment, they will find a way to get it done. To whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. Remember, it's a test. God's setting you up to succeed. The devil set you up to fail. God set you up to succeed. Prepare yourself. Know the will of God. Do the will of God. Be a faithful and wise steward, and watch God throw open wide the doors of possibility in your life, and watch Him get all the glory. God bless you. You have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."